Hello and welcome to the Equine Connection Podcast. I am Dr. Nicole Rambo. I'm here with Sarah.
Hey, everybody. Nice to be back.
And Heather. Heather, how are you?
Good, Dr. Rambo. Thanks for having us on again.
Oh, happy to be here. This is our new series, Unnamed Yet, where we chat about some real-life scenarios, what we might have recommended, some troubleshooting along the way. So if you have any suggestions, please reach out and tell us what we should call this. But Heather, I think you have our situation today that we want to share. So go ahead and lead us in.
I do. We had an 8-year-old horse. This is a gelding. He is in some light work and he's getting 8 pounds a day of sweet feed. He does have some ulcer issues going on and he's a little too spicy.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Sweet feed. We've talked about this before on the podcast. Traditionally what we fed the horse, right? And it smells delicious. Did either of you try sweet feed when you were kids?
Totally. Yes.
I was a little disappointed because it smelled better than it tasted. I'm not surprised, Heather, with some of the issues that you bring up with sweet feed. Ulcery, a little bit spicy. Those are fairly common complaints. You know, the nice thing about this situation is that we have a lot of opportunity to make improvements coming from sweet feed. So sometimes, you know, when we get this call, the horse is already on a feed that's super low NSC. And then, you know, you're more in the situation where it's something else going on, or like some critters are just spicy. Sarah, I remember many stories about your little pony growing up. I don't think it would have mattered what you fed that thing.
No, it was rotten, but it taught me a lot. So I'm very thankful for him.
Absolutely. So, okay. So the first thing that we have in mind are like the non-structural carbohydrates. Sweet feed can be, depending right on the sweet feed, they're usually very low in fat. All the calories are coming from sugars and starches. So those could be anywhere from 40 to 60%. Non-structural carbohydrates. So yeah, absolutely makes sense that those are the type of issues that you're describing. Couple different directions we can absolutely go, but I'm thinking about a follow-up here in kind of helping us choose which direction. I know probably what you guys would ask next is how much hay and how would you describe the quality of the hay?
Great question. So yes, this would be the next question that we ask. And I did ask this customer, what was the hay situation? And he is getting a pretty poor quality grass hay and is getting about 15 to 18 pounds per day.
Okay. And remind me, what type of critter did you say what breed we were? Do we know like roughly what size?
He is a quarter horse, so he's about 1,000 pounds.
Okay. And Sarah, what did you think on the hay quantity?
A little low. You know, the minimum recommended rates for forage or well for fiber in a horse's diet, is 1.5% of their body weight. So, you know, at that 15 pounds a day, minimum, we have plenty of room to increase there.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, and I know that's something you might discuss with folks, like, do you have the opportunity to feed more hay? And in a perfect scenario, right, the recommendation, this horse has a history of ulcers. So let's increase the hay. In a perfect world, we'd also increase the quality of the hay. Not always an option, but even at least giving them more of that lower quality hay just gives them more chew time. Keeps them, you know, brains a little bit more interested. They're creating saliva to buffer their stomachs. So in this scenario, Heather, any opportunity to change the hay? Or are we working with what we're working with? Which I know, like, sometimes in a boarding situation, it is what it is, even if it's not perfect.
This horse is at home. So we do have some opportunity to change the quantity of hay. However, they were raising their own hay in this particular situation. So changing the type of hay, we get what we get. The harvest wasn't ideal in their area. So we're looking to, you know, keep the hay, but we can have room for adjustment.
Okay, cool. Nope, that absolutely works. And you know, we make hay as well. I get it. Sometimes you have hay that you're not super proud of, but the nice thing is that we can fill in those gaps. All right, so moment of truth. 8 pounds of sweet feed. Horses, ulcery, too spicy. I have two products in mind that would be probably my first go-tos. I want to see what you guys are thinking, and then we'll kind of come together and see what you guys did. And I do want to point out, like, the reason I bring this up, there's not just one right answer. There are definitely some wrong answers, but a lot of times there's more than one way that we can address a situation. So thinking about, you know, what products do you already have in the barn, what's readily available to you. Sometimes we work through those options because, again, it's flexible and we can create the ideal situation sometimes from more than one product. So, Heather, what would be your thoughts?
This guy is an only horse. So for a simplicity factor and taking a look at, you know, want to help backfill some of that good high quality fiber as well, I was looking at the Calm and Easy in this particular case.
Okay. Yep. Sarah?
Curveball. I was thinking of the Seniority Low NSC simply because the sweet feeds are typically a little bit lower in fat. Want to be mindful of starch and sugars. And then our feeding rate would be about the same.
Ooh. Okay. That is interesting because I thought of two products. Heather, you hit on one, which was Calm and Easy. That's, you know, a super popular product, readily available. We feed it to lots of horses, particularly because it is high in fiber. The other one I thought of, which is interestingly the opposite end of the spectrum from Sarah, which was Senior Sport, which is a high fat senior. And yeah, we could absolutely address this with all three products. So in all three situations, we're going to bring the sugar and starches down considerably. You know, Seniority Low NSC is only 10% NSC, low fat, like Sarah said. So we'd keep feeding rate at about those 8 pounds per day, I think would be an appropriate place to start. Calm and Easy is our middle ground. So it's 8% fat, 13.5% NSC. We'd bump our feeding rate down a little bit. Both of them bring in great fiber to address that low quality hay. And then maybe it's because, like, you know, we are podcasting in the morning. I just fed a little while ago and I was scooping Senior Sport in my own barn. So that's probably why it's top of mind. It is a tick higher in NSC, so 16.5% compared to our other two, but it's 10% fat. So we could bring the feeding rate down, make the meal sizes a little bit smaller. I was thinking maybe Senior Sport just moving from sweet feed, which, like, we all tried it as children. It smells delicious. It's super palatable to the horses. Senior Sport has a little molasses on the outside of it. So, you know, that can be an easier transition for some of those critters who are used to something sweet. Really, all three of these hit our boxes. Lower NSC, high fiber to address that low quality hay. It ultimately becomes feeding rate and palatability. I'd say Sarah's suggestion, if we knew this horse had insulin resistance or, you know, we needed to keep the sugars and starches super duper low, ideal product. In this case, we have flexibility. We could use any of those three.
Question for you, Dr. Rambo. In some cases, I've had some challenges with horses getting a little bit of loose stool going from a low fat feed to a high fat feed like a Senior Sport. So would you mind kind of chatting through some working through some of that situation, if you wouldn't mind?
Yeah, that's a great question. So one of the things that happens with fat is for a long time, we didn't think horses could eat high fat feeds. They don't have a gallbladder, but they're actually able to just really produce the bile acid, which breaks down our fat in the small intestine. It just dumps right into the small intestine. The challenge is we have to adapt them to that and really ramp things up a little bit slow. So sometimes what can happen is either some horses get switched over too quickly and some of that fat doesn't get digested in the small intestine. And fat's really good unless it gets to the hindgut of the horse. It kind of disrupts the microbes that live there. Then we see that loose stool. So some horses get switched over too quickly. Some horses, even though when we make that slower transition, that would be appropriate for a perfectly normal horse, maybe their body just doesn't respond as rapidly for whatever reason. So those situations I could see, maybe if it's one that's like super prone to that type of digestive upset, that we might avoid the higher fat product. In this case, we'd be going from 8 pounds a day of the sweet feed. I'd start at 5 pounds a day of Senior Sport. And when you break that in two meals, they're pretty small. So I wouldn't expect that situation to happen. Not to say that it couldn't, though, because we all know horses. Things happen. But absolutely, certainly, if we know we have that history, that is one concern. And always making that slow recommendation to transition over. And I know that's a super common question that people have. How long should I take transitioning my feed? And I actually heard you the other day talking to someone, and I thought you broke it down really well in a way I hadn't phrased it before. How is it, Sarah, that you describe the transition?
Yeah, so I typically recommend, and I know Heather does too, but typically recommend making the transition by a pound a day. So we'll remove a pound of the old feed each day and replace it with a pound of the new. If we have one that is super sensitive, or honestly, you know, a lot of our horse owners and us including, you know, we don't want to do anything that may disrupt our horse, right? So if us as owners are a little bit more cautious or nervous about the transition, I'll have them go even slower by a half pound a day. So whatever is most comfortable for our horse owners, but, you know, by and by, you know, we typically recommend, you know, transition by a pound a day. And we've had really great success with that.
Yeah, which way easier when I tell people percentages of like, no, Sarah and Heather have it down to a much easier way, like 25% this day and whatever. So you guys have made it much less complicated. All right. Moment of truth. So what did we go with? How is the horse doing? And what are suggestions in this situation for the future?
Well, this gelding, he is not a picky eater. So I did go with the calm and easy in this case to drop down our sugar and starch level, keep our high fiber. And he made the transition off of his candy bars to his salads. I think a lot of us are getting ready to do that coming out of winter.
For sure.
Then he made the transition beautifully. He is doing well.
All right. Awesome. So one question I would have for you, Heather, has a history of ulcers. We've addressed the spiciness, right? Like horses get hot from sugar and starches. They have a history of ulcers. So we've increased the hay. We've decreased the NSC. Did you guys discuss doing constant comfort as extra support, or did they feel just a dietary switch was enough to do the job in this situation?
We did discuss doing a top dress of the constant comfort plus to give him that additional GI support, especially while we treat and work through these ulcers. So we did end up adding that on as well, one cup twice a day in this situation to give him a little extra boost while he was in treatment.
Perfect. And one thing I do want to make clear to everyone, so all of the supplements, whether, you know, it's the ones we make or other people make, these are in support and prevention. They don't replace the need for medical treatment based on, you know, what your vet finds on a scope, whatever. Check out our recent podcast we did on ulcers where we go a lot in depth on that. But yeah, absolutely. In support and long-term prevention, constant comfort is a great addition to that ulcery horse's diet. Does not replace, you know, treatment as necessary with medication for ulcers. All right. Awesome. So Sarah, any last thoughts before we wrap up today?
Yes, I did want to touch on the term that this owner used, the spicy term. So we get this a lot, right? And, you know, I like to call Heather and I, you know, investigators. We're diving deep. We're asking questions. It's so true, though. You know, is this horse spicy because, you know, A, he doesn't feel well. B, he's on a high sugar starch feed, or C, you know, maybe he's been locked up on a winter storm and, you know, they just let him out and he's bucking and playing and having a good old time. So, you know, we always ask those questions, and there are sometimes opportunity for environmental changes too, that we'll walk through and talk to these horse owners about. So I just always giggle a little bit when we have a spicy one, and just cause there's so many variables and, you know, Dr. Rimbo, like you said, when we first got on, you know, some horses are just spicy. You know, you could do all the things you need to do to, you know, make sure that their environment is how they should be and the starch and sugar level is low. And I mean, slow feed hay. I mean, just hay in front of them all the time, whatever it may be for that certain scenario. And ones may still be spicy. So, you know, Heather is a little bit spicy too compared to me. So you know, we're all different here. So it's just like horses. So I just wanted to, you know, pinpoint that spicy word that the customer used, because we do get that a lot.
Yeah. And I think that's fair. And thinking about horses who are spicy, I think this can get two ways, right? Like spicy in a good, I feel good way, and spicy in a, you know, I'm unhappy for some reason. Definitely horses have their own personalities, just like people. And you can do a lot of work. I'd say in this situation, it's positive to me to hear the scenario with sweet feed, because I'm like, we may be able to make a change. I am not promising your horse is going to go from like wild to a little walk trot pony packer, but I would expect that we can make some change there. You know, when they call and they're like, I'm feeding 1 pound a day of essential K and my horse is hot, what do I do? Like, well, there might be something else, like you brought up, like, you know, does it have some low level pain? Is it a turnout situation? Whatever. But like, we've taken the dietary component out. So to your point, I think diet is a risk management opportunity. We can't necessarily change the base of every single horse. And sometimes kind of they joke like horses for courses. Some people like a little bit more spice. Like I'm kind of a lazy rider. Like I don't want to be kicking too much. So I want something with its own motor, which that might not be the ride for someone else. So thinking about like what's the best fit for me as a rider for my management situation, and then keeping that critter as happy as possible all goes into that. Fantastic point. All right. Well, I appreciate all of the work that you guys do talking to horse owners every day. You know, I, you know, get to do the super weird ones, but all of these scenarios won't be weird. I think we want to just highlight how many different feeding scenarios there are out there, talk about the different pieces that go into them. And like this one, it's relatively straightforward, but there's a couple different answers. So kind of helping provide some of that guidance and flexibility for you guys in real time is what we hope to do with the series. So if you have a particular scenario you want to hear about, please reach out and tell us. We would absolutely love to go through that. You can reach us on Facebook, Instagram, through our website, tributeequinenutrition.com, or you can call us directly. Sarah, please tell me the phone number.
It is 419-294-3838, extension 235, and that comes right to Heather and I. So give us a call anytime. We're happy to help. And again, you know, like Dr. Rambo just said, you know, these are common, very common scenarios that we talk through every single day. So if you have anything, or even if you're already feeding, you know, you think your plan is good, your feeding plan is good, and you just want to check in on things, just give us a call and we're happy just to have, you know, put another set of eyes on it and see if there's any adjustments that may need to be made.
All right. Awesome. I do hope you guys take advantage of that. And as always, thank you for listening. And please go ahead and drop us a review. That really helps us get our program out there. So thanks so much. And we'll be back with you in another couple weeks with another case study.